When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The longest day in the history of football, is that right? It felt like it. Add in a little baseball, add in a little WNBA. Yesterday had it all.
Coming off a crazy, crazy long Saturday of college football as well.
I know, five teams upset in the top 15, I think it was.
Yeah.
That was insane, and it bled in. It's like, is there a full moon or something happening? But anyway, we were the ones who were the beneficiaries, because yesterday you had football start at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time and didn't end until after midnight, because that Steelers-Cowboys game was delayed an hour and a half because of rain. And that game, not the prettiest, Pearl, but delivered at the end with the Cowboys converting literally fourth and goal. Dak Prescott to Jalen Tolbert for the touchdown when Tolbert had just left the game earlier. Silly me. I thought it was a shoulder injury. Turns out.
Bro, it's
it was
miraculous.
A bleeping bleep.
Turns out, bro was miraculous. He could barely walk. It was something a little bit south of the shoulder.
Yeah, but here's the question. You come away from that Cowboys win. They did. It's a big win. They're 3-2. They have a ridiculously hard schedule. I don't feel like this team is as good as last year. Like, they're not explosive at all on offense, and their defense isn't getting to the quarterback like it used to. I don't know. I just feel like, oh, man, they're going to have to battle to make the playoffs, where last year they felt in kind of the second half of the year, they looked like one of the best teams in the league before the playoffs started. Now, I don't see them winning 40-0 over the Giants. None of that stuff's going to happen again.
No, very, very different. So it's going to come down to, they found a little bit of the run game last night.
Yep.
Defense having to make big stands, and Dak Prescott coming through. And I ask you, if you're a Cowboy fan and you wake up today, your team's 3-2, aren't you happy you signed Prescott? It's okay to admit it. I know that he's had some tough postseason stuff, Perloff, but so is Kirk Cousins, and I think the fans in Atlanta are probably happy to see Cousins on their team. This is the time where we saw a lot of quarterbacks yesterday that couldn't make that final play, couldn't make that final throw, and Dak wasn't particularly good during the entire game, but when it mattered, he's got the ball in his hands, less than 2 minutes to go, nearly fumbled it away, but that's fine, comes through at the end, you walk away with a win.
Well, what happened first, second, and third down?
You know,
things
close,
happen.
Close, so, but no cigar. Well, but they got it. They got it.
No. I think Dak is definitely, he's a veteran, poised quarterback. He's won a million close games. I want you to cut that, what Maggie just said, and bring it back in January, because I do think Cowboys fans realistically have in the back of their mind, okay, we can win some regular season games, but to pay off on $60 million, Dak's going to have to turn around the playoffs. Maybe this is a better formula. Maybe they'll be battle-tested come postseason, and they won't immediately let a team like the Packers run all over them. I still think they're Achilles' heel. We didn't see it last night. It was a run defense.
Yep.
And Pittsburgh has not actually been a great running team. Like, Najee Harris, not averaging a lot per carry. Justin Fields really didn't get off. So I think the Cowboys knew the Steelers weren't going to pass the ball downfield. The Steelers sure don't pass the ball.
No, they
so
don't.
So this is a good matchup. I just think that the margin of error is so slim right now for the Cowboys. I have trouble getting super excited if I'm a Cowboys fan.
Well, here's the thing. You don't have enough weapons. And we can
yes,
say that by
exactly.
About a couple different teams. And that's their own fault. It you know, the CD Lambs and Dak Prescott stuff took up a lot of oxygen. But there's no reason to be this thin. And especially if you really do consider yourself a contender. Now, the good thing is at least you have some Jake Ferguson and Tolbert and Turpin.
And my guy, Hunter Luepke.
And Perloff's obsessed with this dude that looks like the offensive lineman. 855-212-4227. So the Steelers, 3-2. Cowboys, 3-2. Big question also about Justin Fields. You mentioned it, Pearl. Not a ton with his legs. 6 carries for 27 yards, but he's not afraid of the dirty yards. That's what I like about Justin Fields. What I don't love about Fields is just more of the same. 15 for 27, 131 yards. Now, 2 touchdowns, yes, no picks. But this is never going to be... How do you put this? This is never going to be an offense that's going to strike fear into the heart of anybody. And I don't know what it will look like with Russell Wilson, but this was the first time yesterday, not just because they lost, but this is the first time last night where I'm like, you know what? Let's see what it looks like with Wilson right. Once he's healthy.
Right, because the defenses are obviously stacking the box. Najee Harris is only averaging 3.3 yards per carry. And they're so predictable on offense, and it keeps them in games. And this is a Tomlin philosophy. Just their defense is awesome. I mean, listen, T.J. Watt, he's like a great white shark on the field. Like, you have to watch him every single play. He's amazing. Their defense is spectacular. But you're right. You need a deep threat. You need something a little different.
You want to know maybe what changed it for me? So Justin Fields gets sort of what they say in the broadcast, de-cleated. You know, yeah. He gets one, really took a shot. And Kyle Allen comes in.
Oh, he looked great.
Right.
two plays. One handoff, one pass to Freiermuth.
Yeah, for 19 yards, like on the seam. I'm like, oh, so you can actually pass in this offense. And to be fair to Fields, he did actually go try to attempt some more downfield passing. But the moment Kyle Allen comes in and completes a 19-yard pass, that's the longest offensive play that had been run in the game to that point for the Steelers.
Yeah, and the thing about Fields is he's had some good second halves, but he started off really slow. And they can't run the ball. If their bread and butter is running it, if you can't run effectively against Dallas, you're not going to, with no Micah Parsons and no DeMarcus Lawrence, you're not going to run against anybody. So I think that Steelers party is sort of came to a quick end. Like, they look like the team to beat at 3-0. We'll see. I think they can still have a winning season because they always do.
Yeah, they do. 855-212-4227. So on the Cowboys side, are you happy now? Are you happy now that the team re-signed Dak Prescott after a win like yesterday? And then, or technically, I guess that win was today.
Yeah.
And then for the Steelers side of this, are you ready for the team to make a switch, or do you think they should stay with Fields? I mean, you do have a winning record. And
yeah.
He's not hurt. So.
And also, so Russ was the emergency quarterback. Do we know if Russ is fully practicing? That seems to be a big thing.
So they said on the broadcast that he went through his full first practice. He was able to do everything, and they think next week he'll be ready to go. So we'll see what happens. Now, Perloff.
Mr. Unlimited.
Perloff owes EJ breakfast all week because EJ knew that.
Kadarrell Hodges. Right. Hodge or Hodges?
Hodge.
Hodge.
Kadarrell Hodge, who was the hero for the Falcons last Thursday night, that he went to Prairie View A&M University.
Now, can we just a little background here?
By the way, you haven't bought his breakfast yet today.
I offered, and he's still debating.
Right, we got 50
you sicko,
minutes.
How did you know that?
So he looked it up that morning, which normally I would say, oh, you just looked it up. But the fact that he remembered from earlier in the morning that dude went to Prairie View A&M fully earned the breakfast. And you didn't even see the full name. You just saw the initials.
PV A&M is what is listed on Pro Football.
Okay, reference. I've got another one for you from last night's game.
Okay.
Pittsburgh Steelers, Aaron Shamklin had 4 carries for 14 yards. Aaron Shamklin.
I do not know this one. I did not look
Manny?
It up today.
Manny has his hand raised.
Yes, Manny.
Didn't he go to Harvard?
He did go to Harvard.
Oh.
Aaron Shamklin. These letters don't go together. PKL together.
No, yeah. That wasn't on School of Rock. What's it called?
Yeah. I before E, except after C. This one is weird.
Dude, Ivy League is killing it. What I can't say his name, but what's that Bengals receiver's name?
Yoshivash.
Princeton.
I'm surprised you haven't brought it up.
Nah. Or, there's no Dartmouth guys in the NFL.
That's the only reason why you'd bring it up. Let's get to the NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
How about Hunter Luepke? Where'd he go?
I assume somewhere in Texas.
No.
I don't know. Texas State? No.
North Dakota State.
Ah, I should know that.
Carson Wentz. Favorite player. All right, EJ throws out a game. We've got 60 seconds to break it all down. Go ahead, EJ.
Okay, so it was the first time Aaron Rodgers threw two interceptions in the first quarter. He had a career-high three interceptions as the Vikings beat the Jets 23-17.
This is not going how Jets fans thought it was going to go.
You don't think Jets fans had thought this might happen where Rodgers would be limping around? That was in the ether.
Okay, limping around maybe. Losing close games, though, I think, is what they thought Rodgers was going to flip that script. So this has not looked awesome. And my question is, Rodgers did play a lot of the training camp, all the preseason stuff. He's been in the building. How is he this off with Garrett Wilson? What happened here? And by the way, congratulations, Vikings. You're 5-0. Great story at the end.
Yeah, it'll be my takeaway is Brian Flores is fighting his way to be a must hire at head coach because his defense is so awesome right now.
Is he still suing the league?
I know. I wonder if he's going to be so good that that lawsuit and his potential to help a team will clash. This offseason is a story to watch.
That Caleb Williams guy might have a future. The Bears beat the Panthers 36-10, 304 yards to Caleb in the win.
You know what I like about the Bears? They were actually running the ball a little bit. Like Shane Waldron has gotten Caleb's gotten better, or Shane Waldron's gotten better because it feels like they have a balance on their offense and he's not running around and having to make all these plays. Then again, it was against the Panthers, whose defense is a bit no name.
This is great for Caleb Williams, but I have a feeling the Panthers may be the get right game for everybody, even with the switch to Andy Dalton.
Nah.
This could be still a very long season for Carolina. But listen, the one thing about the Bears that's been impressive to me, even more so than Caleb yesterday, the defense is good. And they hit dudes. Eberflus has done a good job with the defense.
Let's head to Cincinnati, where it was an overtime thriller. The Ravens win 41-38. Big run from Derrick Henry is the difference.
Overtime, as you mentioned it, I still don't know how the Ravens pulled this game out when you have a fumble like that in overtime, Perloff. That's usually the kiss of death. And then what happened to this dude, Evan McPherson? He was like the X factor.
Totally bad snap. It wasn't on McPherson
at
all.
That's right. It was a bad snap or bad hold, whatever happened. But he was the Mr. Automatic guy, and I guess it just underscores how things are going wrong for Cincinnati.
And Zach Taylor rightfully getting heat for not trying to move up on the field a little bit to make it an easier. He just ran three balls into the ground. They snatched a defeat out of the hands of victory, as I like to say.
By the way, one of the all-time great Lamar plays, too, where he loses the ball, picks it back up, runs around for about 15 seconds, and then finds Isaiah Likely. Unreal.
But there was a flip side of that. He tried to do it again later and lost the ball. Like, Lamar is screwing around a lot. Lamar is awfully loose with the ball. Like, eventually, that's going to catch up to him. It did catch up to him because he almost gave the game away.
They gave up 520 yards of offense, the Bengals defense did. That's nuts.
Won't win a lot of games like that. Okay, let's go to New England, where it was an overturned touchdown and just 15 points needed to beat the Pats. Dolphins win 15-10.
I like everything the Patriots are doing here. Now, they have their quarterback in Drake May, but they need to tank. Never has a team needed a player more than the Patriots need Travis Hunter because they need help on defense and they need help on offense.
Two for one.
Yeah, this is never have you had a draft where there's going to be a top three pick who plays both sides of the ball. The Patriots need help everywhere. If Travis Hunter can play special teams too, that would help. Bring in Travis Hunter. I like what the Patriots are doing. It does keep the season alive for the Dolphins. I actually wonder, and I know you do, does this mean Tua is going to come back sooner with a chance to get to the playoffs?
I think it does. I think that Tua is going to be off IR in, a week? I believe.
I hope not. And I hope they let him rest.
That Jalen Polk touchdown should have stood, in my opinion. That's not what we want replay for, in my opinion. What's next?
Okay, let's go to the nation's capital where Jaden Daniels continues to star for the Commanders. They win 34-13 over Cleveland.
And by the way, you know, this offense for the Commanders is clearly unreal. You talked about Brian Flores playing his way to a head coaching job. Do you think that, do we get a Cliff Kingsbury 2.0? Do we get another trip with Cliff Kingsbury considering what he's done with Jaden Daniels? Offense looks great. And you know what? The defense, either Cleveland's just totally inept and can't even get themselves together in a huddle, or that Washington defense was a little bit better yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think that Cleveland's that bad. Here's the thing. Jaden is running out of bounds really well. He's carrying the ball a lot. My only hope, this is terrible, is I love watching him. Like, will he be able to stay healthy all season? Otherwise, I think Washington might win the NFC East.
Let's head over to Jacksonville, where the Jags finally have at least one win this season. They beat the Colts 37-34 on a game-winning field goal.
Boy, they needed this, but I'm still not inspired by anything that Jacksonville was doing here. I mean, were they really going to go to 0-5? I know you said, Perloff, you thought that Trevor Lawrence was playing well. Okay.
He was awesome.
He's playing well, but I wasn't like, oh, here comes the run now for the Jags. This was a turning point for them in any way. They just got off the schneid, that's all.
Well, if they only played three quarters that game, they'd be the best team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They are so bad in the fourth quarter, and you saw it coming. In real time, you're like, oh, no, the Jags are going to blow it again, but they held on. Tanks Bigsby, by the way, on my fantasy bench this weekend, lost by 3 points. That's great. That's just great.
Well, he only had 13 carries for 101 yards and two touchdowns. I'm
well aware.
Sorry about that, Pearl. Let's head over to Houston. Hydrus Maggie was another game-winning field goal for the Texans here. They beat Buffalo 23-20.
And they deserve to win because the Bills, well, you know what? They didn't deserve to win. They fumbled the ball, and the Bills should have scored a touchdown off of that and forced the Texans to have to beat them with a touchdown, not a field goal. But the Bills deserve to lose because they're backed up in their own 3-yard line, and instead of running 3 run plays to try to get the Texans to burn their timeouts, they decided to throw the ball 3 times. Left the Texans way too much time with the timeouts. They kicked the game-winning field goal. But the biggest question, Perloff, is Josh Allen's health moving forward. He definitely looked to be concussed.
I think concussions, you come back from quickly. The question is the wide receiving core is terrible. I don't think the Texans are playing that well, and they're 4-1. When Collins went out of that game, that offense, is a superstar, by the way. When he went out, it felt much more, because there's no Joe Mixon yet. The Texans are 4-1 and not playing well, which actually makes them even more scary.
All right, let's get to the afternoon slate. Bo Nix gets another W, pick 6 for Pat Surtain. Broncos beat the Raiders 34-18.
So, by the way, Pat Surtain, MVP candidate. I mean, he is dominant.
He's a baller.
He looks amazing.
Yeah, he's definitely the best cornerback in the league right now. He might really be in the competition for Defensive Player of the Year. For me, the drama was Peyton and Bo Nix. Like, this is a soap opera that I want to watch. Screaming at him, calling him Ferris Bueller after the game. This is awesome.
Yeah, and then on the flip side for the Raiders, I mean, things go from bad to worse. Devontae Adams wants out. Then Gardner Minshew gets benched for Aiden O'Connell, and it didn't look much different, better, or whatever you want to say. Max Crosby is still the dude. If you were really tanking to reset, you'd probably trade Crosby and try to get a boatload for him.
You cannot trade that guy. He's so cool.
He's so cool. What's that? He's going to look cool on the sideline when they're losing 34-18.
Do love his tattoos. Let's head over further west, where it was a second-half shutout for the Niners. Cardinals come from behind to win 24-23.
I'm still shaking my head at what happened with San Francisco in this. I know.
I'll tell you exactly what happened.
I know. I get it. Their kicker got hurt. I understand that. But I know you don't have Christian McCaffrey. But we always talked about all these weapons that the 49ers have, and they go down to the red zone and cannot score.
That's because first of all, they would have gotten a field goal and won, but they just didn't have a kicker. The other one, Jordan Mason fumbled at the 8-yard line because McCaffrey's not doing that. I'm stealing this from Chris Sims and Devin McCourty. There's a bunch of 20-yard runs from Jordan Mason that would have been 70-yard runs from McCaffrey. They miss him desperately. I don't want to put it on one guy, but he would have put that game away. This was a fluke game.
They were 1-6 in the red zone. You've got Kittle. You've got Debo. You've got Juwan Jennings.
You don't have a kicker.
By the way, Ayuk with a good game.
They put that game away 3 times with a kicker.
Let's head over to L.A. where it was a disastrous pick 6 that did not do in the Packers. Packers beat the Rams 24-19 at SoFi.
Yeah, I mean, this is tough to watch the Rams, you know. And even with Stafford and his, you know, brilliance and the future Hall of Famer and all of that stuff, it is very tough to watch. Meanwhile, Packers look good. Jordan Love, I thought, fine. This is a tough division. This is going to be tough. So any way you can stack wins, go for it. I think they're probably just feel lucky that they got out of this one unscathed.
Something feels a bit off with the Packers. I'm not sure what it is.
Love's knee or something.
Yeah. No, I was worried about him when you said he looked okay. He did look okay.
Explosive though.
No, and I'm not sure they know who the receiver is. The Romeo Doubs thing is fascinating. Oh, the suspension.
Yeah, by the way, after the show ends on Friday, Romeo Doubs gets suspended. Apparently he hasn't liked his role in the offense. Like, dude, you had Malik Willis in a couple games. Nobody's happy with the offense. You have a backup quarterback. Of course not. Like, That's kind of selfish, I think, of this guy, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they had to suspend him.
They're fighting for targets. There are a lot of good receivers on that team, so that's, I think, one of the
problems. But you can't complain
too.
When half the games have been in the back.
For sure. I definitely agree. That's a talented receiving corps. It's tough to get catches. Going to Seattle, the Giants with a shocker here, 29-20 over the Seahawks.
I've been studying the different gaps on field goal attempts. Apparently, this was a legal play, the block touchdown at the end of the Giants. Maggie, do you care to explain in specific detail why, if you're in the A gap and you're not over the center, it's not holding? Or?
I'm so happy you asked me that, Perloff. And I would just say by Exhibit A, this was what they called the Cam Chancellor. This looked like Cam Chancellor, how he used to jump over the line, and it was effective. I thought the Giants' defense looked really ferocious. Geno took some crazy hits, I thought, in that game. The offensive line for Seattle was getting overwhelmed.
I don't think Seattle's a great team.
I don't think they are either.
I think they're going to be right where they were last year, fighting at the end of the season. Because they've been really close against bad teams.
This is
at home, New York coming cross country, you got to win that game.
Or you just overlooked them and you thought, oh, no Malik Nabers, no Singletary.
Yeah.
We have a big spread in this game. You know, we're just going to cruise. And they got roughed up.
And finally, last one, Cowboys Steelers late Dak Prescott touchdown seals it for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, two bad interceptions early on, but then Dak totally redeems himself with that last second fourth and goal touchdown. They score 14 fourth quarter points, and you know, Dallas, I think you should be happy you got Dak Prescott.
Yeah, it's such a weird game because of the delay. The fan experience was odd, too. You had to sit around and watch the NBC crew vamping for an hour and a half. I didn't come away wildly impressed with either team. I think Dallas just needs to get way more explosive. I know this is obvious. Get Davante Adams, Baggy. Just get into the Jones family compound and say, go all in for real. You need something, some spark offensively besides my guy Hunter Lepke out of North Dakota State.
You know what? This could be the perfect thing for the Raiders. I know we talked about how things have been pretty bad for them this week, but how many teams need a guy? It's not just the Jets and not just the Saints. There are so many teams that need a receiver.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because everyone's getting hurt.
855-212-4227. That's the NFL in 60. We've got so much more to do, including the game we have not gotten to that we must break down. I cannot wait. Go ahead, Pearl.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of Shields, Guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com.
I have to go to class.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
Let's find out who made the grade after this weekend's college football action.
He is totally going to kill at college.
What, like it's hard?
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Maggie and Perloff hand out their college report card.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
All right, time to see who made the grade this weekend. Let's start with the biggest upset that we've seen in some time, and that was the Vanderbilt Commodores, Pearl, taking down the Alabama Crimson Tide. What grade are you giving Kalen DeBoer, the head coach of the Tide?
Well, I'm giving him a D+, which I think is higher than most people, because, I mean, Vandy was due. They were 0-60 against top five teams. It was a matter of time before they won. But I will say this, Kalen DeBoer, the team was sloppy, defense is not playing well. Man, that offense just cooks. When they were down in the second half, they scored like lightning strikes. Then they had an unfortunate fumble where Jalen Milroe didn't see the blindside rusher. I love watching this offense. So that's the one positive thing I take out of this.
I'm going to give them a
D plus.
I'm going to go D minus on this one. I think I'm combining last week where they almost coughed up a giant lead to Georgia. And then I'm going to go this week. You're on the road. I get it. But it's Vanderbilt. You even have Nick Saban making jokes about it. a couple weeks prior, saying it's the only easy place to win. The stadium's under construction. You've got to win that game. And they got sort of punched in the mouth, too. This was a game where Vanderbilt took the lead and then hung on. Okay, next grade. How about, while we're on this game, the Vanderbilt fans for how they stormed the field in such an orderly fashion?
Yeah, it was a very polite field storming. I'm going to give them, I'm giving them a B+, and I'll tell you why. Because you can't be the minority in your own stadium. Like, you can't basically have a home game for everybody. So they're bragging a lot today. They're sort of trash-talking Nick Saban for saying how easy it is to play at Vanderbilt. But at a certain point, like, you can't get an A if you are only a quarter of the stadium and in your home stadium.
Oh, wow, because the Tide fans really invaded.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, like, yes, it was cool. Everything was cool. But still, it's a little weak sauce that you have that many Alabama fans there. I guess that happens all the time, but it really came through on Saturday.
A+ Vanderbilt fans because they carried a goalpost nearly 2 miles down to the river. From the stadium to the river. Mm-hmm. That's a, that's a group effort. That's teamwork right there. And 2 miles is kind of long when you're carrying a goalpost.
What was the team that recently did the river thing last year and was a big deal?
It was 2 years ago. It was Tennessee.
Yeah,
it was
Tennessee.
With Hendon Hooker that year.
Yeah, same river? Probably not.
Knoxville and Nashville? No. Can't, maybe. Actually.
Mississippi? I have no idea.
No, it's the Cumberland, guys.
Oh, sorry.
Get a clue.
Google Maps. Which one is the Cumberland?
The Nashville one.
And what's the Knoxville one?
Moving on. College football report card. What grade are you giving Ashton Janti's Heisman campaign, Perloff?
Sorry, I thought I was talking to Vasco da Gama there. You knew so much about the different rivers.
It's Amerigo Vespucci to you.
Okay. Ashton Janti, oh my God, A+++++. The first play, broke it. It's like the 80s all over again. He's Billy Sims. This is amazing. This is the best thing happening in college football. He's definitely, I know he's the Vegas favorite now. This is the year. It's going to be great. We've been waiting, you know, you had Travis Hunter as your pick.
Yeah,
because
he's second in odds.
Non-traditional because the quarterbacks are playing inconsistently. I mean, it's a little early to win the Heisman, but this seems like he's in great shape.
It'd be awesome, especially from a small school. You know, not since the days of BYU and Houston have we seen smaller schools, and that's how going back to 1989 and 1990. So this would be great. The Heisman campaign, I'm with you, gets an A+. Okay, last one, our college football report card, Cam Ward, Perloff, in EJ's Miami Hurricanes, stake Cal to a 25-point lead and come storming back in the final seconds of the fourth quarter.
I mean, is there a more fun player in college football than Cam Ward? You don't know what he's going to do on any given play. There's no lead safe against him. I give him actually an A-, a little sloppiness here. I watched actually this morning. ESPN played the whole game again because it was so good. I still don't know how they won that game, as usual. But I'm into him. I think he's moving up the draft boards as well.
All right, I'm going to give Cam Ward an A+ here, but Miami can't keep getting away with this kind of thing. Now, you want to tell me Virginia Tech, Miami, that was the right call? Okay, I'll get to you there. But Cal got absolutely robbed in this game, and everyone should know it. That was targeting. It should have kept the drive alive for Cal. Not only did the students come out for game day, fantastic atmosphere. They deserved to win that game. They got hosed by the ACC refs, who apparently can't stay up late enough past their bedtime. And this was absolute BS. I feel bad for Cal, a team I once rooted for. And they deserve to win that game, bro.
Targeting?
Yeah, targeting.
That's not really a thing, but okay.
In college, it is. Also, by the way, also tip of the cap, A+, to the Cal fans. The Calgarithm is in full effect on social media, where they have very fun social media posts that lean into their sort of reputations, if you will. Yeah, woke, DEI, all that stuff. It's very, very fun. But they had some great signs for College Game Day. One sign said, "I thought this was a protest." It was fantastic. And my other favorite one, "I only do lines of code." It's an all-time.
That's an all-timer.
Great College Game Day sign.
Oh, because of the Hurricanes? I don't know. Is that still a rep for the Miami Hurricanes, EJ?
No, it's for Miami, just the city.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That should be on a T-shirt in a bookstore.
I mean, they were saying it was woke versus Coke. That was the whole. That was the whole.
Oh, like Catholics versus convict.
Yeah.
I only do lines of code. It's a great sign for College Game Day. Andrew Bogish has headlines for us. Hi.
Hello. We begin with some breaking news from Foxborough. Patriots safety Jabril Pepper is reportedly arrested Saturday morning after police received a call about an altercation at Pepper's home. He is due in court today, expected to be charged with assault, strangulation, and drug possession.
Oh boy.
Head coach Gerard Mayo just said on Boston Radio, Pepper's called the team after this all went down. He was inactive with a shoulder injury for yesterday's 15-10 loss to the Dolphins.
Wait, is this an altercation with a woman or a man?
That, no specifics. But the charges are not domestic assault or domestic violence. It's just assault. So this might have just been a fight with somebody else.
What kind of drugs?
The report suspects cocaine. But again, this is all unconfirmed at this point.
Wow, that's really shocking.
It was the game of the day, and this was the play of the day.
Lamar bobbles the snap, has to pick it up off the turf. He's being chased, corralled, stiff arms a man, Sam Hubbard, and finally slings in the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Isaiah Likely. Oh, my. Unbelievable.
You guys mentioned this quickly earlier in the hour. The call from Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio not doing the play justice. Lamar went two in knee to pick up the drop. Snap, got up, ran to his right, chased by Sam Hubbard twice, stiff-armed him in the face mask. The second time put Hubbard on the turf, and then as he was going out of bounds, he somehow sees Isaiah Likely back towards the middle of the end zone, throws it for the touchdown. Lamar and Joe Burrow combining for 740 passing yards and 9 touchdowns in this 41-38 OT Ravens win over the Bengals.
It was I'm Joe.
Not as pretty in Pittsburgh last night, starting with the 90-minute weather delay before opening kickoff. Dak Prescott gave the ball away 3 times. The Steeler offense only managed 226 yards. Dallas finally won 20-17 when Dak threw a 4-yard touchdown to Jalen Tolbert with 20 seconds left. Mike Tomlin's team is 3-2 instead of 4-1.
It's nothing mystical about the outcome. I just thought we didn't do enough over 60 minutes to position ourselves specifically. I thought we started slow offensively, and I thought it was self-inflicted wounds.
They also had a chance at a game-ending fumble recovery, but Dak fell on the ball first, then threw that TD 2 plays later. Practice tears last night as LeBron and Bronny practiced playing and making NBA history in a preseason game with the Suns in Palm Springs. Son checked in the second quarter, joining his dad, making it the first time a father and son have shared an NBA court. They spent 4 minutes and 9 seconds together. In 13 total minutes, Bronny missed the only shot he took and committed 4 turnovers. The Suns won the game 118-114. It is good to be EJ right now. Miami again won somehow Saturday night. Free breakfast all week, and he's got the lead, I think, in our postseason home run derby.
First pitch on the way. Fernando swings, sends it in the air to deep right center field. Edmund is back. This time all he can do is watch. It's going to go. Another home run. Padres with their 6th home run of the night. Fernando with his 2nd. It is 10-1 at Dodger Stadium.
That's Jesse Agler on Padres Radio. It was a 10-2 series tying win for San Diego at Dodger Stadium. The 6 homers, including 2 from Tatis, tying the postseason single game record. This one featured a 12-minute delay in the 7th when Dodger fans threw baseballs and their items at Padre outfielders.
I have a question. Do you bring a baseball to the game? Or is that something that someone caught? Did someone catch it earlier? All of a sudden, this baseball just comes out of the stands.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't be allowed to bring it in. So either you somehow bought it there or caught one along the way, and then you threw it at Jerickson Profar.
Right, so maybe it's like a BP situation, or if you're going to get to the game early and somehow you're going to procure a baseball, why would you throw that away?
You wouldn't bring a baseball game in trying to get players to sign it? I mean, that's what I would have done as a child if I had seats down in the 100s.
Right, but then why are you throwing it away?
Well, that I don't understand, yes. But yeah, I mean, I think you can bring a baseball in with the intention of it getting signed.
So imagine you have Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis sign the ball, and then just, all of a sudden you get a Shohei Ohtani,
angry dad,
and you're just like, screw it.
But like so,
wow, you lose.
So, okay, good reason to bring a baseball to a game. But that's also a projectile. So you can do that. You can bring that in. But I can't keep the cap to my bottle of Pepsi because I might be able to put the cap back on and throw my soda at somebody.
And listen, you saw why last night.
I don't make the rules, man. I don't know. Why are you pressing me about it?
I have another question. What's the age that you can no longer bring a glove to a game?
Well, the get out of jail free card in this situation is before the netting. You could bring one for protection.
Mm. Yeah.
If you were sitting close enough, you should almost have one just in case something comes your way. But nowadays, a lot of places you're protected completely from
those line drives. Would have helped out that fan in left field. If he had a glove, probably would have interfered with Profar and probably would have landed for a home run.
Yeah. Yeah,
possible.
You got to take that left fielder out. I like where Manny's going.
Throw elbows.
I think he would have got Philly at a short wall like that. I mean, he would have probably got assaulted there.
And he's like, we need more fan interference. That's what's going to help the game.
Do whatever it takes.
Not pictured in this update is the Phillies 7-6 win over the Mets. That series is 1-1 as well. And you guys might have missed the juiciest hockey drama recently, but it ended yesterday with the Bruins and goalie Jeremy Swayman agreeing to an 8-year, $66 million deal.
Oh, hallelujah.
His holdout included a lot of fighting through the media, but I'm assuming they're all good now for 66 mil over 8 years.
Anything on the San Jose Sharks lately?
I think he's a dig.
That's our team.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't help them very much, did we?
We did not.
Our bad.
I used to like it when Manny was here.
Where do they play, Manny?
SAP Center.
Likely story.
None of us can correct you.
Manny has a gift.
Sure sounds right.
He definitely was right, but those things change all the time.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
Manny's secret power is he knows the name of every arena in sports.
Yeah, be jealous, America.
What happened with Fordham?
About what?
Rose Hill.
Football.
The game.
Oh, they almost won.
There you go.
Which is close enough these days.
Are we going to have to deal with this? Are you basically going to be in a good mood when the Mets win and a bad mood when the Mets lose for the rest of the playoffs?
Bogus?
Yeah.
Have you been around all summer?
Yeah. Oh, you're saying he's...
I'm usually in a good mood until you start backtracking on your LeBron.
Sort of went after Manny there a little bit, too.
Bogus is in a good mood until someone makes him not in a good mood.
Yeah, don't poke this tiny bear.
I feel like if the Mets had won yesterday, we would all have a lot more leeway here.
Beat the Mets.
Is that not true?
I'm surprised that you haven't brought up the awesome Denver Bronco uniforms. I saw you tweet about that yesterday.
So beautiful. Gorgeous.
Every team should just go back to what they wore in 1985 and we'd be fine.
Why is that? Back then, everything seemed ugly. And the 80s, fashions were terrible. But you're right, they're so much better.
Although there's something off, EJ, about these Jet uniforms. I can't put my finger on it. They're so much better than they used to be, but there's just something not right about them still.
Maybe it's the three picks.
Well, some of these guys.
The guys in them.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
I think they're too baggy.
Yeah, and like I think the colored like neck thing is too wide.
I think it's the coaching and the players.
I definitely think Sala's got something to do with it.
No, I'd be saying the same thing if they were 5-0.
He's a bum.
But Sala is a problem. I said this to Pete, our old friend Pete Pilotti, off the air. He's never been more right
than he was on
his Robert Sala take.
Oh, everyone loved it when he came to town, and then he turned into something different. I was like, this could be the fiery guy, and then we haven't heard a peep since.
I saw an interesting uniform take. I saw the college, I think it was CBS's College Shooter, just shredding Ohio State's all gray uniforms for a good 10 minutes. Is that the ugliest? They said it's the ugliest college uniform there is, and I couldn't believe that.
That's harsh.
I think so. Also, it's not like, you know, your colors, they're just kind of, you have the scarlet, obviously, which is bright, but the gray is kind of dull.
I just think that you should go old school, simple, unless you're going to Oregon and try something like Penn State. That's what I would do. I like simple and bold, and I think the 80s did more of that. The Broncos one, that was the prettiest uniform I've seen in a long time.
But that's not simple, that Broncos. The helmet's got a freaking horse on it.
Yeah, but it's like...
I think John Elway's about to run out on the field, and it's awesome.
But it's not like trying to be like look like a new age superhero transformer kind of thing.
But I thought the Houston uniforms were very cool yesterday.
Oh, I disagree. I was going to ask you. Yeah, I couldn't decide.
I was like, the Bills aren't beating them in that uniform. They did look like Marvel, like Black Panther. Or something cool.
Yeah, I didn't like them.
I liked them.
Oh, they were cool.
I don't like any of their new. All of them are new. I don't like any of them.
I like that they're trying to take back the Houston Oilers color a little bit by sneaking in a little light blue in there. Because
I get
it's a travesty that the Titans won't let them wear those colors.
I feel like the Texans have always been held back a little bit by their uniforms. They've never been great.
It's not great. Nothing's great about that design. Again, anything created in new millennium, throw it out. Doesn't work.
855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. You want to talk about the Cowboys? We want to do that too. Bogus, thanks so much. We're back in a minute.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Got a big game tonight. We've been so busy wrapping up the weekend, Pearl. We haven't even looked ahead to tonight. Saints-Chiefs in Kansas City.
Oh, I know. There's so many storylines here. New Orleans was the team of the league the first 2 weeks. Now they're 2-2. And the other question is, are the Chiefs explosive at all? Without Rashee Rice, I'm very curious to see if they look really sluggish, do they go into the trade market big time in wide receiver? Not necessarily Adams, but do they get an Amari Cooper? I think there's a lot at stake here.
Yeah, a lot of teams need some help. This is a good time for Davante Adams to ask for a trade. Meanwhile, Tony's our pal in Toronto wants to talk about the Cowboys game from last night. Cowboys escape with a win in Pittsburgh. Last second, fourth and goal. Dak Prescott to Jalen Tolbert finds Pater. What's up, Tony?
Hi, guys. Good morning. Longtime Dallas Cowboys fan. I wish Dak would be playing better, but I don't think he's the problem.
Okay.
There seems to be a lack of communication and knowing what routes or plays that they need to do. And in this case, CeeDee Lamb. He's your premier wide receiver.
Yeah.
He looked like a fool yesterday in his antics and complaining. Dak always looks professional. I got to give that to Dak. He didn't add anything.
You're talking about miscommunication between the two of them. And I thought it was, Tony, a little bit odd on the broadcast, actually. So CeeDee Lamb is saying something, I guess, to Prescott. But
right.
Chris Collins was like, oh, I'm going to let you read lips on this. It doesn't look good. Do you want to know what that reminded me of? That reminds me of a broadcaster who either knows something or knows a story or got tipped off on something about their relationship, but was told it off the record.
Ooh, that's wild.
You know, yeah. I've been watching football for a long time, but it seems coincidental that whenever there's a problem on a team, not really getting along or some frustrations, it seems the wide receivers are the ones that are the
Tony, you just start watching football?
Yeah.
We kid, Tony. But yeah, thank you for the phone call and pointing that out. I'd appreciate you. The wide receivers generally are the ones who are the most upset.
It's by structure because the wide receivers need to be total egomaniacs because you need to want the ball at all times. Like, there's never enough targets for any wide receiver. Just get me the ball. I think that's what you want out of a wide receiver, but it's not really a team-friendly position. By the way, there was a little video they did in the Steelers-Cowboys where Mike McCarthy went to his family. You know, he's from Pittsburgh famously and brought Dak Prescott with him. I feel like, I wonder if CD's thinking, oh, like, Dak's a teacher's pet a little bit. Like, I wonder if Dak gets just too much love in that locker room where it's like all Dak all the time. That's my theory on what's going on.
Oh, interesting. I also saw that vignette, and my thought on it was this was McCarthy calling it a favor to the quarterback. Hey, can you do me a solid? Come meet my family. Got a big Dak Prescott fan in the family, something like that.
Right, but McCarthy clearly is same thing. He's a fan of Prescott. Like, he's going to, by the way, the other takeaway. Like,
Cooper Rush was also there.
Yeah, Cooper Rush was there.
I think it was a quarterback thing.
Mike McCarthy, very good-looking young man.
The yearbook photo.
Yeah. I've seen it before. Like, you forget Mike McCarthy was a stud back in the day. Was he? He was a quarterback? I can't remember.
Manny's going to choke.
Yeah. But you know who else was? Who's the guy, the one that always shocks me? He was considered the most handsome. He's an assistant coach, longtime offensive coordinator. Help me out here. We talked about this earlier in
the
year.
What team?
He was famously a stud. We know. Oh, help me out here, Maggie. He was.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, Tom Thibodeau. Basketball. Tom Thibodeau, the Knicks coach, was like a male Adonis.
I have pictures of young Thibodeau saved on my phone.
Yeah, McCarthy's got the same thing going on, where he was a very good-looking young man who is now, he's not bad-looking by any means, but he's let himself go a little bit.
No, but you said offensive coordinator.
I know.
That's not what Tibbs does.
I was thinking, but Tibbs could be an offensive coordinator. He's built like an offensive coordinator. He's built like Mike McCarthy. Anyway, yeah.
Just not as tall.
Well, how do you explain this? Well, CD, it's funny. It's never quite right.
Well, is it because he gets a lot of double teams, too?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Also, it was right last year up until the last game. He had a fantastic season. One where we're asking whether he's the best wide receiver in the league. Now, that's clearly Justin Jefferson. I think Jefferson has put that. And I think that he's
Chase is right there, too.
Chase is great, but I think Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in the league. He has been for a while. Mm. He's been so good. And I'm not saying that that's all, Sam Darnold's only a product of Jefferson, but Jefferson's amazing. And if he's not catching the ball, he's drawing the PI. That was against Sauce Gardner yesterday, that game in London. I mean, Sauce is one of the best corners in the league.
I still think Jamar Chase is right there.
Well, he might be right there, but if we were doing a draft and it was...
I don't know. Chase wants to get one more dollar than Jefferson, right? That's the thing going on.
Yeah.
But, back to CD for a second. Like, the lasting image of last year was him on the sideline getting consoled by Mike McCarthy in the playoff game. I'm just saying, he seems a little emotional. That's why you got to get help there, Maggie. You said it. You should have signed Derrick Henry. You should get a receiver. Just do something. You got to mix this up, even though they won last night.
Wide receivers getting emotional. It never happens. it's so rare. It's a drip of sarcasm. Thank you, DJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez. Thank you to Andrew Bogish and Andrew Kaplan. Weedos, coffee drinkers. Couldn't do the show without you. We'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy Chiefs Saints tonight and baseball.